If you take the Pew Bible and turn to page 668, we'll read the first chapter of Zechariah, and let's stand together as we honor God's Word this morning. Zechariah chapter 1 has just 21 verses, and so we'll read through it. Page 668 in the Pew Bible. Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 1. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. The Lord was very angry with your forefathers. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Do not be like your forefathers, to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Turn from your evil ways and evil practices, but they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Where are your forefathers now? And the prophets, do they live forever? But did not my words and my decrees, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, overtake your forefathers? Then they repented and said, the Lord Almighty has done to us what our ways and practices deserve, just as he determined to do. On the 24th day of the 11th month, the month of Shabbat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, son of Iddo. During the night I had a vision, and there before me was a man riding a red horse. He was standing among the myrtle trees in a ravine. Behind him were red, brown, and white horses. I asked, what are these, my Lord? And the angel who was talking with me answered, I will show you what they are. Then the man standing among the myrtle trees explained, they are the ones the Lord has sent to go throughout the earth. And they reported to the angel of the Lord who was standing among the myrtle trees, we have gone throughout the earth and found the whole world at rest and peace. Then the angel of the Lord said, Lord Almighty, how long will you withhold mercy from Jerusalem and from the towns of Judah, which you have been angry with these 70 years? So the Lord spoke kind and comforting words to the angel who talked with me. Then the angel who was speaking to me said, proclaim this word. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I am very jealous for Jerusalem and Zion, but I am very angry with the nations that feel secure. I was only a little angry, but they added to the calamity. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I will return to Jerusalem with mercy, and there my house will be rebuilt, and the measuring line will be stretched out over Jerusalem, declares the Lord Almighty. Proclaim further, this is what the Lord Almighty says. My towns will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and choose Jerusalem. Then I looked up, and there before me were four horns. And I asked the angel who was speaking to me, what are these? And he answered, these are the horns that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen. I asked, what are these coming to do? He answered, these are the horns that scattered Judah so that no one could raise his head. But the craftsmen have come to terrify them and to throw down these horns of the nations who lifted up their horns against the land of Judah to scatter its people. Oh, Father, would you speak to us and encourage us this morning through your word? Would you strengthen us in a walk of faith, trusting in Christ alone. And would you bless us as your people, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. And I know it's a very full service this morning, so we'll be fairly concise in our thoughts. Last time I spoke 2 weeks ago, we were looking at Haggai, and we saw a prophet who came and he just came right face to face with the people and said, why is the temple not being built? Why is it that you're doing your own thing and not following the word of God, the desire of the heart of God? And the people began to build the temple. And Zechariah is also a contemporary with Haggai. And you know, the Lord doesn't use the same means always to reach to us. Haggai was straight in your face and get it done, and God will bless obedience. Zechariah is a man who comes and he uses encouragement. And you know, we need both, don't we? There are times in my life where I need somebody to come along and say, you've put off fixing that back gate for months. Why don't you fix it? So I did yesterday. And then there are times when we need someone to come along and say, listen, just stay in that place of obedience. You cannot believe the things that God has for you as you follow after him. Zechariah is a prophet like that, and you'll find lots of similarities to Revelation and Daniel and so on as you think about Zechariah. He is speaking to people who've come back out of exile. And you know, the problem I think that both prophets faced is one that we still have around today. Do you ever do something and that hurts? And you say, I'm not going there again. Maybe you trust somebody and they hurt you badly. Maybe you put your trust in a financial advisor and discover that, whoops, I guess I better keep working for a while because that money isn't going to be there after all. There are all kinds of things that disappoint us, aren't there? And so, as we look at the beginning of Zechariah, I just want to tie in with this thought. God's people, when they came back from Babylon, came back saying in their hearts, that must never happen again. And so they begin to live outwardly what they should do, but that didn't mean that their hearts were where those hearts needed to be, in the hand of God. And so when we think about Zechariah, as the book opens up, just very concisely this morning, let's look first of all at this thing, a clear call. There is God's call to return to him. Now, they have returned to Jerusalem and to Judah and so on, but Zechariah is saying, God is saying, return to me. And you saw that in the early verses of this first chapter. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you. Now, when you think about this, if I were to say to you, return to me, what does that imply? It implies that there has been a distance and that we're not together. So God is making a very clear call that he wants his people to return to him, not just outwardly, not just to say, yeah, I'm a Christian, Christmas and Easter, done that, good. But to say every day, I develop this relationship with Jesus Christ and I'm getting to know him more all the time. I'll just pause to say, welcome, Abigail. Sorry that you're leaving us. Everybody wants to see you after the service, so just stay right where you are. So, back to Zechariah. Here we see there's been this distance. Yeah, they're back in Jerusalem, they're back in Judah, but where are the hearts? The hearts are full of fear, saying, I'm not going back into captivity. I'm just going to ease along here. And oh, that still happens today, doesn't it? When you or I get burned with something, woundedness sets in. And woundedness brings fear. Fear that if I ever step out again, I'll be hurt, and I don't want to be there. I did talk to someone about Jesus, but boy, they blew up in my face. I'm not going there again. You see, that still happens. But God calls us to this personal, vital, living relationship. And just as He is calling His people to return to Him here, so He speaks to us today, return to me. And I would simply take a moment or two this morning to say, yeah, we can go through all the motions, but are there areas on the inside where we've sort of drawn the line to say, Lord, don't ask me to do that because I'm not going there. It hurts too much. And I understand woundedness and hurt. But dear brothers and sisters, we are called to a walk of faith and a walk of trust and of depending upon Christ. Whether things are going well or not, just to put our hand in His and to walk on with Him. Not just outwardly, but in the heart. Now, the New Testament teaches us that we have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world says, you don't want that Christian stuff. That's crazy, man. But the world will stand before a holy God one day, and He'll say, my gospel was preached in the time where you live. You had an opportunity to turn to Christ and to come to Him, and you didn't take it. And so now you must depart from me and spend eternity in hell, lost. The flesh says, oh, that would feel so good. Oh, wouldn't it be great if everybody recognized all the things that I do? But Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 17:10, says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and dreadfully wicked. Who can know it? And my friends, that's why you'll hear me and Pastor Shea and others in the pulpit here say, don't trust your feelings, trust the Word of God, and bring your feelings into line with the Word of God. The flesh will always say, hey, come on, come on, come on. And we know we're growing up when we begin to learn to say, no, I'm not going there. I'm going to keep my hand in Christ's hand, and I'm going to keep my heart in His hand, and I'm going to live for Him all the way. And there's something so liberating in that, isn't there? I mean, you could actually come to a moment when you think about how Jesus has overcome this world, and He gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can overcome the flesh. And you could go kind of Irish for a moment, couldn't you? You could kind of, yeah! I don't have to be beaten. I don't have to be wounded. I don't have to live in fear. I can live in the power and the strength of the living Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. And the third enemy that the New Testament speaks about is the devil. Yeah. Oh, I learned a little poem in Ireland. You might want to memorize it with me. This is what it says. The devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. I'd put him in a box and throw away the key for all the tricks he's played on you and me. Oh, yeah. He never stops. We have an enemy. But you know what? Jesus said, I have overcome the world. He overcame the grave. He overcame the devil and everything that He could throw at Him on Calvary's cross. Don't you love that song that we sometimes sing that says, every evil thought, every angry deed on Christ, just as we celebrated this morning. So that you and I might be able to have that victory and grow in that walk with Him. Oh, God is saying to His people here, return to me. Yeah. But look at what else He says. And I This is the God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, the sustainer of all things. And he says, if you return to me, I will return to you. Wow. What a promise. What a marvelous promise that is. I must move on a little. Secondly, as we look at this text, we see God's care for his people beginning at verse 7. We see how there's a change in the text there, and it tells us the month and the day and so on, and who was on the throne and so on. And then in verse 8, during the night I had a vision, and there before me. And you will find in Zechariah there are 8 visions that God gives. And I don't know that we'll take time through September to look at them all, but I encourage you to read through them because they address all the issues of life and the downers that we face sometimes. And God is speaking to his people that as he returns to them, he just comes to bless and to strengthen. In the very first one, his mercy is expressed. And in this first vision, he makes 6 promises. If you like to underline your Bible or if you're taking notes, I'll just walk through those verses and tell you what the promises are. In verse 16, he promises to return to Jerusalem. In verse 16, he promises that the temple will be rebuilt. In verse 16, he promises that the boundaries will be reestablished. You see, when the enemies came in, they leveled the land and carried the people away, and there is nothing left. Do you feel like sometimes those who are Christians are losing ground in Western society, and we seem to be sliding into the background? There was nothing left, but one of God's promises is, I'll return, the temple will be built, boundaries will be reestablished. In verse 17, he says, Judah will be restored. Wow. Carried away to nothing. Restored. Oh, this is so full of the redemptive power of the Lord and of his gospel. In verse 17, he says that he will comfort. I'm so glad that when I need comfort, I can come to a Savior who understands, aren't you? He understands all the issues that we face. In verse 17, he says that there will be a reaffirmation of that relationship with him and his people. Now, I was in Saskatoon on Friday night at a teen challenge meeting for a graduation for 2 people, and it was amazing to me, and it just seemed to fit so well with what God was saying here. One of those young men talked about how he wanted to get out from home, left his mom and his sister, and he moved in with some people who led him into crystal meth, and crystal meth led on into other needle-like drugs, and things just went downhill fast, and he told lies after lies after lies, and his life was an absolute ruin. And his mother prayed, God, would you give me back my son? It seems as though the world, the flesh, and the devil have had their way. Would you give me back my son? And I watched that young man Friday night stand up and say, when he went into the Teen Challenge program, he experienced the love of God. And he met the Savior. And this is the comment that he made. Devil, you have failed. I am no longer yours. I belong to Christ. So what's he going to do now? He's moving out to Alberta to serve in Teen Challenge and to help others find the same experience. You see, God's care for his people. Sometimes we think, oh, that's too far. But the Lord's arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Very quickly, there's a third thing that we see in this text, and I just titled it God's Craftsmen. God's Craftsmen. There are these who are spoken of, who come to break the power of those horns mentioned. Now, God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and I'm so grateful. In my life, I've been a citizen of Ireland, a citizen of the United Kingdom, a citizen of Canada, and I am so thankful that I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God, because all of the others are only temporary. Can you say that this morning? I know that I belong in that everlasting kingdom. We see a much bigger picture as God unpackages this. In verse 11, it was the angel of the Lord Jesus, who intercedes for the people and says, "How long, O Lord, will you wait to restore?" And it is still the Lord Jesus who intercedes for you and for I and for his church around this world. Those four horns mentioned represent Medo-Persia, Babylon, Greece, and Rome. They were all empires. They all came and they all went. Such is the transiency of this life and of things that seem as if they would last forever. But oh, my dear friends, God has his ways of bringing human empires to nothing. The four empires that scattered his people, God will deal with them. Just like Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." It tells us that the heritage of the Lord and the Lord's people is just to know his work all the way. The Lord sent back a humble and a contrite remnant. And one thing was for sure, and all my prayer is that we would learn it again in these days. Dear church, we cannot depend on anything but Christ. Dear brother or sister, you cannot depend on anything but Christ. When we learn that in humility before him, all we see the glory of God begin to pour into his people and to build his kingdom. The psalmist says, "A humble and contrite spirit, O God, you will not despise." I must close, so let me do it this way. Here we see God is calling. It is a straightforward call. Return to me. We see that he is caring. He says he'll restore. He'll do all those things. We see that he is capable. But, my dear friends, a choice is necessary. It's easy to walk and seem to be okay on the outside, but oh, how we need to return to him on the inside. Are there wounds in your heart that you've never dealt with, places that you don't want to go, that God would say, "Give it to me, and I'll restore you"? You can come to him this morning. In a few moments, after we've sung a song, we'll close in prayer. There'll be prayer teams here. You feel free to come and seek the Lord in what he's been saying to your heart today. Father, as we worship you in this last song, we sing it from our hearts that you would indeed change our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.